Hear now the word of God. We're reading from Psalm 119, beginning at verse 25 down through verse 32. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so that I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his rich blessing to our reading and understanding and hearing of it this very day. In the New Testament, we Christians are commanded to seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is a very difficult thing to do in everyday experience. It's the way we ought to orient our lives, but we are often not very heavenly minded. We find ourselves attracted to and clinging to the things of this world. In fact, King David confesses that very thing in the first verse of this section that we're looking at today. He confesses to God that although he ought to be seeking God, that he ought to be seeking spiritual things, he finds himself too often attracted to things of the flesh, things of this world, things that are indeed sinful. He expresses this as his soul cleaves to the dust. Now, some say when David speaks this way, when he says his soul cleaves to the dust and prays for reviving, that he is speaking about the fact that he finds himself near death, that he is ill or that he has been persecuted and he is worn out and therefore he is at his wit's end, that he is at a loss and he feels himself ready to die. Now, that is a possible interpretation of these verses. And yet, I think that this whole section that we're looking at in the Psalm is about David confessing his sinful attractions to the things of this world, and it involves a cry to God, a prayer to God for deliverance from that wrong orientation of his life's desires. That word cleaves is used in the Old Testament to describe being fastened to or attracted to something else. The very first time that the word appears in Scripture, it's used in the description of the very first marriage, which is performed by God between Adam and Eve, where in Genesis 2:24, we read that the man is to leave his father and his mother, and he is to cleave unto his wife. And so it's the same word that David uses here. In Ruth chapter 1, it's the description that's used of Ruth as she clings to her mother-in-law and is willing to follow after her to Israel from her native land of Moab. It's used in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9, of a man that we know of as Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. He was one of the mighty men of David, and he is described there as having fought a long, hard, intense battle with the Philistines until his hand cramped up and clung to the hilt of his sword. And so his hand is so attached to his sword he can't let go. And so these words are used to describe that. Now, if we take this section of the psalm that we're looking at, this fourth section, as a unit teaching one thing and not as a series of disconnected ideas that only have as their connecting feature that they all began with the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, if we look at it as a narrative, as a miniature psalm within the psalm, with one particular prayer request in mind, then what we can see is that David is expressing his inner turmoil over sinful desires in his life. He is longing to be set free from those desires, and he asks God in his grace and mercy and kindness to grant him that freedom from such sinful desires. And so what is happening here, I think, is that David is confessing that he wrongly clings to the world and to the things of this world. And he cries out for reviving from God. He wants to be revived. He wants to be made alive according to the Word of God, he says. Now, that could mean, obviously, that he desires to be healed of some sickness or of the fact that he is close to death. But I think what he's crying out for is spiritual desire to be rekindled within him to take the place of those worldly desires that are there already. He wants to desire the things that God desires of him in his life. He wants a spiritual renewal in his heart, a spiritual revival in his heart, so that his attachment to the world is released, and he is attached then to the things of Almighty God. And he speaks of this in terms of being revived. He wants to walk in righteousness. He wants to walk in holiness. He wants to live a godly life that pleases the Lord as it's set forth in Holy Scripture. And so he uses this word to describe his prayer because he knows that his attraction to this world, which is described as dust, will end only in death and in the grave, which will result in dust. And he desires to continue to live, but to continue to live in order to please God and serve God in accordance with the Word of God. And so that's something that you and I also need to pray for, Christian. You need to pray for that. Examine your heart to see if you are too closely attached to the world and the things of this world and its fleeting pleasures, and recognize that such attractions that are found in you are doomed to failure, that in the end they will damn your soul to hell if you remain attracted only to the things here below. And so cry out to God as David did. Cry out for deliverance. Cry out to him for revival of spiritual desire within your heart, a desire that God would have for your life, a desire for holiness, a desire for righteousness, a desire for Christ and for godly Christian living. Next, David says, "I have told of my ways and you have answered me." Now, what he's doing when he says, "I've told of my ways," he is telling God of these ways of sinful attraction. In other words, David in prayer is confessing his sin to God. He is confessing those things that cause him to desire to cling to this world. And he recognizes that he is being sinfully tempted. And he is confessing those temptations. He's confessing those sins. He is giving those things to God. And he is expressing, just as Paul expresses in the letter to the Romans, that nothing good dwells within his flesh. He is crying out, "Who will deliver me?" as Paul does many years later. "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the answer is the same answer that, of course, Paul sets forth in Romans. Thanks be to God. It's basically in and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who delivers us. And so David is looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ yet to come in his day. And he is trusting in the Messiah to come. He is trusting in the Deliverer. He is trusting in God who will send such a one to deliver him from sin, to deliver his soul from clinging to the things of this world. And God does indeed answer David's cry. He shows grace. He shows mercy to his servant. The way that God does this always is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David's prayer is heard by God, and it is answered through David's own greater Son to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. God forgives all of His elect people because of the work that Christ has done on our behalf, that He has paid the penalty for our sin and our failure and our rebellion against God, that He has provided His holy righteousness in the place of our sinfulness, and therefore David is cleansed, David is forgiven, and all of that on the basis of Christ who is yet to come, who will fulfill all of those things for David as well as for all of God's elect people. You need to cry out in a similar way, Christian. You cannot hide your sins from God as if God did not know of them. You need to recognize sin as sin. You need to confess what those sins are and what your temptations are. You need to forsake those sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Cry out to God for help, and God will indeed grant you mercy in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, David desires to be free, and so he says, "Teach me your statutes, make me understand your ways, the way of your precepts, so that I will meditate on your wonders." So I will meditate on your wonders. So David desires to be set free from all of these temptations to sin in his life. He longs to know the statutes of God. He longs for the commands of God to take hold of his life. Those are the commands that are set forth that God carved in stone in what we call the Ten Commandments. And those are the very same commands that God carves on the tablets of our hearts through the blood of Christ, through the work of Christ, as the Holy Spirit applies those things to our lives. And so He works and writes upon our hearts the very same truths. And David wants that. He desires that. He needs that. He wants to understand all that God says that is right and all that God commands that is in keeping with His holy will, so that he will live in a way that pleases God. He wants to follow that way set forth in Scripture. Now, he prays for understanding to be given to him of the precepts of the Word of God, and he promises God that he will meditate on the wonders of the Lord. We've seen already that word meditate means to mull over. It means to mutter to yourself. And so what David is saying here is, I will take your word, I will repeat it to my heart, I will repeat it to my soul, I will speak it to myself, I will examine it from every angle, I'll turn it inside out and upside down, I will look at every aspect of it, and I will seek to find how it applies to my life and my situation. And that's what you need to do as well, Christian. You need to meditate on the Word of God so that you will indeed then understand the wonders of the Lord. And those wonders include all that God has done, especially the sending of His Son, our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took our sins, the one who grants us His righteousness, the one who has redeemed us, who died and rose again on the third day and has ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, and shall indeed, after having ruled over this whole universe, come as the judge of the living and the dead at the very last day. And so those wonders are things that we see set forth in the Scriptures. And David cries out and says, I will meditate on these things. I want to put these things into practice, see how they apply to my life, and put them into practice in my life. And you also, Christian, you need to cry the very same thing to God. You cannot simply make up on your own things that you think will please God. You must go to the Bible, go to the Word of God, and see in the Scriptures the wonders that are set forth there, and live in accordance with what God teaches in His Word, which is the truth. And that is what you and I must do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so cry out to God. Cry to God that He would teach you His commandments, that He would inscribe upon your soul and your heart the truths of His precepts, that He would enable you to walk in all of His ways. Think about those ways. Meditate on those ways. Speak those ways to yourself, and then go forth and put those ways into practice. And so constantly think on the Word of God, constantly seek to apply the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand better and better and better as time goes by how you are to live as a Christian in a fallen world of sin. Next, David expresses grief over his sin. My soul weeps because of grief, he says. Strengthen me according to your word. David was grieved. He was cut to the heart. He was in anguish because the more he meditated on God's holy word, the more he looked at the commandments of God, the more he saw that his life was not in accord with the holy righteousness set forth in the Holy Scriptures. And therefore, he weeps because of his own lack of holiness, his own lack of righteousness before the Lord, who is holiness itself. Now, only the Word of God could bring relief to David in this situation. He's in the midst of anguish, and the very thing that has anguished him is also the source of his comfort. He's anguished by his failure to keep the commands of God, but he finds in the Word of God comfort because he sees in God mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. And so he sees in Scripture the promises of a Savior to come. He sees that holiness and righteousness will be provided for him, that in fact the Savior to come is the very personification of the holiness and the righteousness that he and you and I all need. Jesus Christ is the living Word. He alone can comfort the brokenhearted, and he alone can comfort an anguished soul like David's. In fact, we're told in Scripture that relief can be found in Jesus Christ because he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows exactly what your grief is like, Christian. He has been there. He has experienced grief beyond what you and I can experience. And as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, he knows what it's like for you to be in anguish, and therefore he knows exactly what your soul needs at exactly the time that it is needed. He takes our griefs, he bears our sorrows, and he imparts to us, imputes to us his holy righteousness, his mercy, and his grace, and we find joy and we find delight in him. And so David cries out, "Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law." David confesses his adherence to the false way. And that's going to be in contrast, as we're going to see in just a minute, to the faithful way. The false way is the way of temptation, following the lies of Satan and of this world. It's the desire for worldly pleasures at the expense of spiritual commandments and blessings. And so David cries out, "Remove this false way from me. Remove me from following after, desiring after this false way. And instead, instill in me the faithful way." And so he doesn't want to be a person who follows the crowd into sin. He seeks to have the temptation to sin, the temptation to follow this false way, removed entirely from his life. He wants instead to live a life where the flesh is being vanquished day by day by the work of the Holy Spirit, where the law of God is being instilled in his heart in the place of this false way, and where he realizes indeed that he needs to live a life that is pleasing to God, and he knows that this can only come about by the grace of Almighty God. And so, in contrast to the false way, he desires the faithful way. David says, "I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me." So, rejecting the false way, David has chosen the opposite. He has chosen the faithful way. There are only two ways, ultimately, to live your life. You are to live the true and faithful way through the Lord Jesus Christ, through trusting in him. And everything else that is not that faithful way is a false way. It's the false way of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the faithful way is the way that David desires. It's the choice of David's heart because of the grace of God that has been given to him in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can choose the faithful way on his own. It's not possible for sinners to forsake the false way and choose the faithful way just by themselves, just by an act of their will. It takes the grace of God. It takes the mercy of God. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes regeneration as the Holy Spirit gives a new heart and a new life and a new desire to someone, causing that person to be born again. And then and only then can the person desire to walk in the faithful way. And so God has given to David, has granted to David, the grace to be able to choose the faithful way. And David has said this. He has remarked to the Lord, I have chosen this faithful way. And he does this by placing the ordinances of God before his eyes. God has used the ordinances of the Word of God to show David the proper way in which he is to walk, and God has moved David to understand what those ordinances are and want to live by God's commands. And so instead of forgetting the Word of God, David has deliberately placed the Word of God before his eyes, before his thoughts, and before all of his desires. He wanted to be ruled by God's holy word in his daily choices of life. Do you want such a thing in your life as well? Where do you stand in this regard? Are you following the false ways of this world, or are you following the true and faithful way of the Word of God that is found through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Place the Word of God before your eyes constantly so that you will never forget what God says about living a life of faith that pleases Him, that is done through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David makes the right choice because of God's grace. David now confesses that he has a strong grip on something that is not the dust of this world. I cling to your testimonies, David says. O Lord, do not put me to shame. Now, in verse 31, when David says he clings to God's testimonies, he is using the very same word we saw back in verse 25, where he said that his soul cleaves to the dust. Just as he adhered strongly to the things of the world in sin, now he says that he clings wholeheartedly to the testimonies of the Word of God. His allegiance is to the Bible. His allegiance is to God's holy Word. He now wants to be stuck to the Scriptures as the rule of his life. And so he says, now I cling to this. I don't cling to the world any longer. You have answered my prayer. Now I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. But he cries out, recognizing that he is still a frail human being, that he is still subject to temptation. He is still subject to sin in this life, and he might mess up. He might indeed fall into sin. And so he cries out, O Lord, do not put me to shame. Allow me to continue to cling to your testimonies and not return to clinging to the dust of this world. Shame, you'll recall, entered into the world when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Shame entered because they realized that they had forsaken God's holy commandment and they had chosen to follow their own heart's desires instead. And David does not want to become ashamed because of some desire to follow after sin in this life. He wants instead to follow after the ways of the law of God, and yet he does confess, he does recognize that he is weak, he is still sinful. And so he cries out, asking for God to keep him in the way of his commandments, keep him in the way of faithfulness, through strengthening his hold on Scripture and loosing his hold on the things of this world that only lead to the dust of death. And so he wants the Lord to reinforce his clinging to the right way and his release of the wrong way in his life. And finally, he cries out asking the Lord to encourage him, to help him as he runs in the way of God's commandments. I shall, this is David's commitment, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. As God does all of these things that David has prayed about, David will be enabled to run in the way of the commandments of God. Instead of stumbling or moving hesitantly in the right direction, David wants to run all out. He wants to be able to run completely in the way of righteousness, the way set forth in the Scriptures. He promises he will do this because he knows that he can count on God to enlarge his heart. Now, the idea, the illustration here is that God will grant to David a well-functioning heart, that it grows with greater love for God every day, a heart that pumps all the blood he needs to run this race full speed without gasping for breath or giving out partway through the race. An enlarged heart that will grow in its love for the Lord God, for His commandments in Christ. And so he wants to be able to run joyfully the race through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has granted to him a heart that is growing in its love for God, then its love for the commandments of God, and its love for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the way of righteousness that is set forth in Scripture. Has God given you an enlarged heart? Are you indeed one who loves with an increasing love the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you desire more and more of the Scriptures in your life? Do you desire more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Master and your Savior in your life? If God has given you such an enlarged heart of love for Him, then praise Him with all of your might and run with all of your might the race that is set before you with your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But if you have not been granted this enlarged heart, then cry out to God. Then confess your sinful clinging to the things of this world and beg Him, indeed, to forgive you in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the only Savior of sinners. God promises in His Word that He will not ever turn away those who come to Him through faith in His Son. So cry out to Him. Seek that enlarged heart. Let go of this world of dust and cling instead to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as He gives you grace. Let's pray once again. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much that You are the one who loosens our grip on the things of this world that tempt us so easily. And You are the one who attaches our grip to Yourself through Your commands and Your precepts that are set forth in Scripture and that are completed for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so increase in us Your grace through Christ, and bless us to turn and to run with all of our might in the way that is set before us in Christ. Please forgive our sins. My prayer is that any who are watching or listening to this broadcast today might indeed trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, would receive such an enlarged heart, and run the race before them through faith in the Son of God, that they would turn from darkness to light and from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, all by Your grace, all by Your mercy, all by the blood of Jesus. And we make our prayer in His precious and holy name. Amen.